charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Tuesday edition. Got a fine attorney who's joining us right now live via Zoom. He is Daniel Linz. He is joining us from Law Forward here in the great state of Wisconsin. And Dan, the topic of the day, the topic du jour, the Gableman, man. He's rolling back the Electoral College votes. What a fine idea he has. Dan, welcome back, man.
Good to see you, Mike. Thanks for having me.
I hope you recognize the sarcasm in my voice. It's hard to take this testimony seriously, Dan. He puts forth the legally, the implausible, the improbable, the impossible. He wants to roll back the Electoral College votes in the state of Wisconsin. And I'm still not clear in his 136-page report what evidence he would offer of anything other than, you know, maybe a troubling video or two taken at a nursing home. What was your impression?
Well, the theories that he's propounding and the evidence that he thinks he has, it's just wrong. And we've known this for a long time. This election occurred 15 months ago. And what's contained in Mr. Gableman's report is a rehash of theories that have been tried and have failed in the courts, that have been presented to the legislature and failed. The legislative council has told us that Mr. Gableman is wrong. They told him again today in open testimony.
Now, Dan, the accusations of bribery leveled by Gableman against five Democratic mayors or communities, I guess, the Zuckerberg Five, as he terms them, wasn't that litigated already prior in the federal courts? My understanding of ruling said this was permissible behavior.
That's exactly right. And full disclosure, we represent the city of Green Bay in a couple of these matters. But prior to the November 2020 election, a group of citizens and an organization challenged these election grants in federal court, and a conservative federal judge in Milwaukee determined that there was no federal or state prohibition on these grants. They were determined to be legal before the election. They also were the subject of a couple of post-election lawsuits and failed there as well. Everyone who's looked at it, the WEC, the courts, the state courts, have all determined that this is not prohibited by Wisconsin law.
Now, I found it interesting today, Gableman made a point of describing them as the Zuckerberg Five, these five democratically led cities. And he did so derisively, and he even explained himself. He said, well, I don't want to call them the Wisconsin Five. That would bestow too much respect upon them. Dan, he certainly seemingly came with a political axe to grind.
Well, Mr. Gableman's had a political axe to grind for a long time. And it's one of the reasons and one of the ways we know that this is not a serious investigation. It's never been a serious investigation. There's nothing here to this. It is just a rehash and a continuation of these theories that folks want to see over and over and over again. He has a political axe to grind. His staff have political axes to grind. Several of them have been involved or are currently involved in challenges against the state regarding the election. And that's really troubling. You know, this is a taxpayer-funded investigation in theory to inform the legislature. The legislature has voted on bills. It's done its work. It's going home. And Mr. Gableman's still out here, is still going to be out there filing lawsuits, issuing subpoenas, doing whatever he wants, we think without any legal authority to do so.
Well, but he has had some form of legislative oversight. He's only acting under what, the direction of Robin Voss. So at minimum, Robin Voss knows what's going on and is condoning this sort of behavior. Again, probably for political ends. But you talk about the validity of even the role of Gableman at this point. Explain that for a minute. He's apparently out of contract.
Yeah, so Mr. Gableman had a contract with Speaker Voss that ended on December 31st. It was extended once to December 31st, has not been extended again. He admitted as much today during his testimony and in response to questions. He's been ordered by a court to present some evidence that he has a continuing contract. He has failed to do so. So as far as we can tell, he ran out of contract, you know, at the end of the year and no longer is an attorney for the legislature or the assembly. We're not sure what his authority is to continue doing these things. And it's an open question for the assembly and for the legislature to answer.
Well, Dan, as an attorney, I know you're an attorney, but Gableman also an attorney by vocation, at least in the current sense. If he was acting in this role without a contract, isn't he an ethical breach as an attorney, as a officer of the court?
There are rules that require attorneys to have written contracts with their clients. They're not hard and fast rules. I don't want to speculate on ethical violations. But he is purporting to act with the power of the legislature. When he goes to court and asks to put people in jail, he's saying he's doing so on behalf of the legislature. And we don't know what he's telling the legislature. There have been a number of suits for open records that Mr. Gabelin's failed to turn over. We know he's not issuing reports to Speaker Voss about what he's doing. We know that he's represented by other attorneys in litigation than Speaker Voss. They don't necessarily speak as one voice, but you know, that's sort of between them. You know, what's important here and what we know is that what Gabelman has been trying to do by regurgitating these election conspiracy theories has been disproven over and over and over again. The people of Wisconsin have every reason to believe that the 2020 election was safe and fair. We know it was. Everyone who's looked at it has determined that it was safe and fair and the results can be trusted. And the more that we hear this type of conspiracy theory in the press, the farther we get from issues that really matter to people.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. That's Daniel Lenz, attorney with Law Forward. Daniel, how do you think this will play outside Wisconsin? We know that Donald Trump was pointing to the testimony of Gabelman this morning and saying, everyone pay attention. You know, he's going to lay it all out for us. Well, he laid it all out. I'm unpersuaded, let's just say, Dan. But how do you think this plays outside of Wisconsin? I mean, it seemed laughable. We've certainly been quick to mock what testimony was given. But is there any plausible way that this plays the way it was intended to the audience it was intended, primarily on the right?
That's a little bit outside my expertise. I assume it will play to the people to whom it wants to play, that people are interested in hearing these things said over and over again. We'll listen to it. And that's unfortunate, but it is the reality we live in. I think in a larger way, you know, the people in this country, the people all over, have a lot bigger things on their plate than what Mr. Gabelman has to say about something that happened 15 months ago, especially when he has no basis in fact. I'm embarrassed for the state that this continues to be something that we have to see that's being entertained by a legislature, but hopefully that will be the only attention it gets.
Dan, let me ask you about the assertions that Gabelman made about 100% turnout at nursing homes. And then even during his own testimony, he rolled it back and said, well, you know, 95 to 100%, although those are distinctly different percentages. But Dan, can you help us understand the high participation rate? And he said it, you know, with the specter of there's something to see there, where there's smoke, there's fire. But what is he even implying, that there was massive fraud taking place in the nursing homes and the staffers were overly persuasive, forcing all people to vote for Joe Biden? I'm not even sure what the conspiracy's output is.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. And that is what he's implying. He has no facts to back it up. There's no reason to think that anything untoward happened. People in nursing homes, unless they are under a specific type of order, have every right to vote. This was a very high turnout election across the state, in Republican communities and Democratic communities, and in independent communities. A lot of people turned out to vote, not in excess of, you know, not in such a way that it's suspicious. It was just a high turnout election. People cared a lot, and that's great. And people have a right to vote. You know, we shouldn't be turning over every rock trying to prove that they don't. These folks have the same right to vote that I do and that you do.
Now, Gabelman talked about a voidable election. I've never heard of such a clause in the Constitution, but what is the plan to voiding an election? Have you heard that legally argued before, Dan?
There is no plan. There's no provision to void an election. The state statutes lay out a recount procedure. There was a recount in the 2020 presidential election in Wisconsin paid for by Donald Trump. That process took place. The results were confirmed by the Supreme Court. You know, it's over. That there is no voidable election. That process has been knocked down over and over and over again.
Now, we know that Attorney Cheeseborough And I also believe Cleta Mitchell were both subpoenaed by the January 6th committee today. And they both have tie-ins to what we're talking about here, which is, you know, the specter of a stolen election, but perhaps the real effort to steal the election. Now, Law Forward has tried to, I guess, get action from the Wisconsin Elections Commission, to my understanding, and even the Attorney General of the state of Wisconsin. Dan, what does your firm feel like should happen in the case of these 10 false electors here in the state of Wisconsin? What should be the consequence?
Well, that's up to a number of different actors, both the Elections Commission, DAs in the state, the Attorney General, and we're going to continue to look into that. But there has to be some accountability for these folks who acted as though they had authority they don't, and tried to do things to overturn the will of the people in how they pick their leaders. And what that accountability will look like, I don't want to speculate today, but there has to be some answer for what these folks did in the shadow of the Capitol.
Now, Dan, would it be a legal shield if an attorney acting on behalf of the Trump campaign, let's call it Cheesebro, our understanding from prior reporting is he reached out to Jim Troupas, a attorney acting on behalf of the Trump campaign here in the state of Wisconsin, and they laid out this false slate of electors plan. And would that be a legal defense? I know Bob Spindell, who apparently was one of the false electors, and he also happens to be a Wisconsin elections commissioner. He has effectively confessed or implicated the Trump campaign multiple times in his conversations with reporters, Dan. And he said, we were directed by Trump's attorneys to do this. To your opinion, sir, is that a legal defense?
Well, we're all accountable for our own behaviors, regardless of whether an attorney, you know, we spoke to an attorney beforehand. The exact contours of how that argument would play out before the commissioner, before the courts, again, we just don't know yet. But there, you know, other folks in other states did something similar, but they presented it in such a way that it acknowledged, hey, there's a legal challenge, and if that legal challenge were to succeed, this is what we want to do. The electors in this state just signed a document saying we are the electors, and that's a different thing and something that we need to look into.
Now, there is an attorney. He gave testimony today in this elections hearing, assembly elections hearing, Eric Cardall. And Cardall has been the impetus behind a number of the lawsuits. He apparently does an office share with Gableman, the special sauce prosecutor. Cardall, the validity of the lawsuits. I understand your firm has had to deal with a few of these lawsuits, or at least filed briefs in these lawsuits. Have you seen anything laid out with merit yet in any of Cardall's pleadings?
If I just say no, is that too short of an answer?
No, it's not. I mean, I interviewed the guy this summer and I tried to understand what it was he was claiming. And effectively, he's claiming somehow these five Zuckerberg cities, you know, basically turned over the elections operations for $8.8 million. You know, the fact that they received money, they somehow turned over command of their elections. And I haven't seen any physical evidence or any sort of evidence, Dan, that would seem to back those claims. So, you know, I found it troubling when Cardall was making that speculation last May. And obviously, some of the courts he's appeared before have some ethical questions about him as a lawyer. So no is probably a good answer in this case, Dan. Any final thoughts?
I'll jump back in to confirm that none of that happened. You know, elections were run by the clerks. They were run very well in 2020. The election was a success. The voters in Wisconsin had their voice heard. And what Mr. Cardall says to the contrary just isn't true. And we'll continue to push back against those theories.
I hear the music playing. Dan, that means our time's about done. Daniel Lenz, a fine attorney with Law Forward. Dan, thank you for joining us. And can't wait till Gableman's next public testimony.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. The show continues. Nothing from
nothing leaves nothing. You gotta have something. They'll go through court for years. At the end, there'll be who knows what happens.
There's nothing more tedious than a trial.